Part 8.
Christmas 1944. Christmas Eve. Started the day the right way by getting up early at 9:30 a.m, washing and shaving before breakfast and putting on a tie and shirt for the first time for 2.5 months. Went to church after Appel, very cold. After lunch, helped to fry fritters. Meanwhile, the mess was full of activity. George on icing the cake, which really has become the pride of the block. The interior decorators are also very busy, making a really good grand job of it, so that the Christmas spirit is really imbued into the mess. The pictures from the parcels are stuck up around the place. The rafters are entwined with bump-coloured paper and wool and tinsel, and the centre pole is very tastefully covered with coloured paper, fir branches and tinsel. Numerous bells, candles, Christmas trees, etc. hang around, and a greeting to everybody is inscribed over the door. The cakes are iced in honey icing, and a Merry Christmas is inscribed on it in nuts. Went to carol service after dinner with the choir and orchestra, which I thoroughly enjoyed. The theatre is also decorated, including a big Christmas tree on the side of the stage. Much evidence of sweet bashing, etc. Some of them won't have much left by tomorrow. Also bags of fun with the new games. Lock up not until 2 o'clock tonight, so we are having an extra midnight brew and spread. And so to bed.
Christmas Day. Stooged today with Ken, so got up earlier than ever before here, 8 o'clock, in order to get a real Christmas breakfast. Had a sit-down breakfast, which was very welcome all round, and swept up before Appel, so I felt warmer to go out on parade than any time since I'd been here. After Appel, Ken, Jim and I went to church, and returned in time to get lunch ready, this meal, of course, being a special one, after which we were really beginning to be filled. Clearing up over, we went for a circuit bash, it being a lovely day. Having the gramophone in the mess for the day, records and needles were scrounged from all quarters of the camp and were played at odd intervals throughout the day.
After afternoon Appel, we started getting ready for tea, the high spot of which was, of course, the cake, which was almost one of the richest and best I have ever recollected tasting. So much so that most of the mess, including myself, could only get through a small portion of it, keeping the rest for some time in the future. Next, I went to pay a visit to Professor Reed's mess to see how they were faring, and found that they'd nearly bashed themselves to capacity before they got down to the real business. Back to work again once more to prepare for a meal. This time, the meal, the Christmas dinner, Bellaria edition. And oh, my, what a meal. We got through the soup, hors d'oeuvres and ham without much trouble. But when a terrific great bowlful of turkey, spuds, peas, carrots and gravy came up, the speed of the attack definitely began to lag, until, by the end of the course, the pace was almost at a standstill. So much so that some even refused their pudding, and the majority could only get halfway through, including myself. From here, the menu was abandoned, except for the coffee, which was used to wash it down. For this meal, we had tablecloths and served the meal restaurant fashion and had candles on the table, the last part of the meal being eaten by candlelight, which was very effective. It was certainly the first meal I'd seen in Craigie life where food had been left untouched, and even the offer of seconds had no response. This meal left everyone in a state of exhaustion. Consequently, the next hour or so was spent lounging around before any attempt was made to clear up. We then managed to acquire an accordion and a guitar, and this, together with the gramophone and the massed voices of the mess, provided us with plenty of music. Lock-up was to have been at 2 a.m. again, but at the last moment the goons put it back to 10 p.m. consequently putting off the opening performance of the Christmas show. Being so full, we decided not to have our brew until 11, and could only digest a snack of cheese straws with it.
The remainder of the evening was spent in a sing-song around the fire of carols, etc., and so finished my first and hope my last Christmas away from home, although, all things considered, we had a much happier time than I should have imagined possible under the circumstances. As a good finish to the day, the communique today, from our point of view, is much more cheerful than during the past week or so. So ends Christmas Day 1944, and the hopes of many Kriegis who had hoped to be home by this time. Boxing Day. Appel was not until 11 a.m. again this morning, so was able to stay in bed later, after one of the best nights' sleep since I've been here. Must have been the full stomach. Continuing our bash, though on a much lighter scale, we had, in addition to our usual two lunchtime slices, a piece of fry bread and sausages, also an extra slice for supper. I finished up my Christmas pudding for tea, appreciating it much more than I should have done last night. We decided by a vote to keep the other cake for New Year. Bags of gin going around, supposed to come from official sources, that over 1 million food parcels are on the way, and possibilities of going on to full food parcels in the very near future are fairly rosy. The communique today was very good again. A German attack in the west is being held up, and the Russians are pushing on the northwest and north of Budapest. December the 28th, 29th. Food, etc., was back to normal, except for odd sweets and odds and ends left over from Christmas, but also a bit of cake that I'd been able to keep. Preparations in swing, though, for a minor bash at New Year. The latest attraction on the camp is ice skating. First of all on the frozen surface of the static water pool, and then on the new ice rink constructed on the sports field.
New Year's Eve. For the last day of 1944, we had the first dull Sunday since our arrival here, and a considerable fall of snow. But nevertheless, we were able to see the old year out fairly well, as far as food is concerned. We went to church in the morning, and then had an extra piece of fried bread and a half crust for lunch. For afternoon tea, we had an excellent piece of shortbread covered in honey icing and a cherry. Then, in addition to our ordinary brew at night, we had another one, just before midnight, as we had another 2 a.m. lock-up. At midnight, Jim and I went to the watch night service. Whilst back in the mess, the bagpipers had been round, piping in 1945, and Auld Lang Syne sung in the candlelight. And so ended 1944. Certainly the most eventful year in my life, and one in which I have seen many changes. And may 1945 bring us victory and peace, and that for which we are all so eagerly awaiting and looking forward to, our return to our homes and the many happy reunions which this will bring. 1945, January the 1st. For lunch we had, in addition to our ordinary two slices, a crust and a piece of fried bread, and a dessert of a sort of sweet fruit dumpling with cherries and milk sauce. For tea, we had another iced shortbread and cherry. For dinner, we had a big bash of Spam, roast and boiled spuds, peas, cheese, noodles and gravy, and bread pudding, which altogether nearly stumped me. As well as the usual brew at 8:30, which we had in the interval of the show, the majority of the chaps having gone, we had another one later on with an extra slice of toast, a cheese straw, and a portion of the remaining cake, most of which I kept for future use. As most of the boys were at the theatre during the evening, we had a session with the gramophone. As a footnote to the day, on morning appel, the German officer wished us all a Happy New Year, surely a sign of the times.
January the 5th. Weather much warmer, and snow beginning to thaw, though the ice rink is out of commission. Big event. 8 men left the camp bound for Blighty under a repatriation scheme. Lucky chaps. We do feel envious. Back to lectures and studies again after the Christmas recess. Got a form today to get books for my studies. A long-term policy, but you never can tell, and there's no harm in asking. News much better. We have opened our attack on their salient and have cut down its width considerably. We were also on the move again in Italy. January the 6th to the 13th. Nothing very spectacular happened during the week. I started skating. First results were a few sore bones, but managed to get a bit of an idea towards the end of the week and found it good fun, warming you up at the beginning of the day. Weather still bitterly cold, although a thaw started on Thursday and we had some rain. However, it froze again afterwards, making the ground pretty treacherous. We seem to be feeding very well nowadays, thanks to more goon rations in the form of dried barley, noodles and increased spuds. All this as well as the fact that we are saving up for George's birthday party on Sunday, for which Bill has been very busy making all sorts of little odds and ends. Two big rumours during the week. First, full parcels on the 16th. Very doubtful. Second, we're all being expatriated to Sweden soon. Even more doubtful. News improving. German salient in West almost cut off. And the big Russian attack in Warsaw sector started on the 13th. During the week, we had a really good spruce up with baths, haircuts, clean sheets, etc. and dobbying, clean laundry. Went to a very good classical record concert on Wednesday.
January the 14th. Today we're celebrating as George's birthday. In other words, we're having a bash. Breakfast was the same as usual, but for lunch, as well as the usual two slices of toast, we had a bowl of soup with potato and blood sausage, and a piece of fried bread with pâté, and an extra half cup of coffee. For tea we had extra a tart with more jam in it than I've seen in a tart for a long time, and a slice of sort of cookie with cream with it. Dinner consisted of fried spam, peas, chips and mash spuds, cream with a cheese sauce, which made about as tasty a meal as we've had, followed by noodle pudding, then a mince pie, a piece of excellent birthday cake and coffee. During the meal, George was presented with a colourful birthday card drawn up by Nuffy, and appropriate speeches, etc. were made. To round off the evening, we had a sing-song with a guitar, and then, just as we were preparing supper, the sirens went and the lights were put out. Not to be outdone, we got out our Christmas candles and ate supper of two slices of toast and a very delicious noodle cake in the light of them. January the 15th to the 19th. Easily the most outstanding events of the last few days has been the almost unbelievable advances made by Joe's boys on the Eastern Front and in our direction. Each day brings them nearer to Sagan. In 6 days, from their nearest point about 250 miles away, they've advanced to within about 150 miles and are still coming. Naturally, rumours are rife at the moment, and apart from the official gen from the OKW, one doesn't really know what to believe. The biggest rumour states that 1,500 Kriegers evacuated from camps in the Breslau area are coming to one of the compounds here shortly. Naturally, the camp has become enveloped in a tremendous wave of optimism, and everybody is speculating as to how we are going to be liberated, or whether we perhaps will have to move further into Germany.